Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 8, Tony Moclair and Tony DeVolfo. Tone, I'm back. There was another Tony of sorts last week.
The eminent one, Tony Koutafoudis, didn't appreciate being called Tone, but however, he found a way through, and like he always did on the football field, and was quite entertaining in his and incisive in his reflections on the team and the week that was.
I can imagine. Any dancing in there?
No singing, dancing, Tony, unfortunately, although I did see Kuta in the rooms after the game on Sunday, and obviously lapping up the, the fact that he was on Media Street, and yeah. Great to see him back in the fold.
Well, thanks again to Kuta for filling in while I enjoyed a short stay in Blue Zealand, as you called it. Very nice there, Tone.
Well, we're building the empire, Tony. You have the Blue United States and the Blue United Kingdom to work on beyond New Zealand's shores. So let's make it our pact to, spread the propaganda worldwide.
Let me sign up to that pact immediately. Before we get into a discussion of the Sydney-Carlton game, any AFL players from New Zealand? I'm sure there's one or two.
Well, I know that Trent Crowd, the Hawthorn and Fremantle footballer, was a Kiwi.
There we go.
Wayne Swass was one
was
as
really?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So there's been a few out of the land of the Silver Fern. Predominantly All Blacks, Heartland, though, wasn't it?
Come on. Well, Sydney, of course, as we know, is full of Kiwis. There were none on the paddock on Sunday. Tone, we talk a lot about green sprouts. And can I just ask you first, your thoughts? I'm not sure if you saw the presser with Bolts after the game. I always think that's an interesting point to start any review because I think his demeanour says a lot. Did you catch that press conference?
I did, and I think what's been a feature of Brendan Bolton's assessments these past 2 weeks is, look, he speaks candidly and frankly. He calls it as he sees it, and what that means is that supporters and members watching on are under have no ambiguities as to where the team actually is and where it's going. So I think what you're finding is with the onlookers, that they're seeing, those little glimpses of where Carlton wants to be, and where Sydney is where Carlton truly wants to be.
Yeah.
But right now, I suspect we have to be grateful for small mercies, and we do see it. We saw it again with Wiedering.
Oh.
We saw it with Charlie Curnow.
Yes.
What he did, his time that he came on, and. And what we see in those players is the future of Carlton, and it's an ongoing story, isn't it? And we have to run with it.
Now, if you've seen the journey, watch it again. If you haven't, you've got to see it because there's a great moment that kind of, epitomises Bolton's philosophy. A player to the camp, the recruit camp in Tasmania, forgets a ball. The thing that you're expected to do is bring a ball. So Bolts makes these guys, the one who forgot his ball, I can't remember which player it was, but it was Charlie Curnow.
It was.
Makes him basically swim about 100 metres to another boat in, I'm assuming, a freezing cold lake in Tasmania like there's any other. And he uses it as a lesson to the others and basically makes the point that it's one in, all in. And he lets that phrase basically hang in the air till the penny drops.
Yes. So and they all followed him in, didn't
that's
they?
That's right.
And the coach went in with them.
That's right.
And, it's a pertinent point you raised, Tony.
And the reason I say that, because finally there was an all-in scrap you would have seen behind the goalpost there, and there wasn't one Carlton player fighting alone. It was the whole team. And I thought, I'm seriously delighted to see that.
That's a great observation, Tony, and it's probably symptomatic of what, the coach, as you say, is trying to achieve. And it's not only happening on the field, but it is happening off it. I mentioned a moment ago how the third Tone, Koutafoudis, was in the room after the game.
Yeah.
With his wife and family, together with a lot of parents and loved ones of players who are playing for Carlton at the moment. And while that's not unusual, it was unusual to see the gates open and everyone in the room, everyone together under the one roof was actually tremendous to see. And what it tells me is that the coach is really having a galvanising influence on not only his playing group but everyone connected with the club. You know, everyone's in it together.
Yeah.
And it's only in strength and numbers and all those other clichés that Carlton can hope to sort of get anywhere. So these are really encouraging and heartening signs, and they are morale boosting too. You know, they do truly lift your spirits. They make you feel good to be part of the team. And you know, I think another message that that Bolts tried to impart very early on to his coaching fraternity. You know, we work at Carlton, but we want to be Carlton or become Carlton, or we are Carlton.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what is happening here.
Zach Tuohy in the room afterwards with his parents. That's a magnificent milestone.
Magnificent milestone. History-making milestone, Tony. First Irishman to play 100 senior games for the Carlton Football Club. He gets his name on the number 42 locker under Robert Walls, who magnificently left a letter of congratulations before he went back to the south of France. And it actually... Zach mentioned how relieved he was to get that tick of approval from Robert Walls, because he said, "I'd hate to think that I was sharing space with someone on a locker who felt that I didn't deserve to be there." So that meant a lot to Zach Tuohy, and it was tremendous to see, as you said, see him fly the flag when you know, when he was slung into the behind post by Lance Franklin. Yeah. How well he and those close to him responded to that vile act perpetrated on the field, Tony.
Charge him with assault.
Yes.
Let's 6 months in hard labour at the old Grey Bar Hotel for Buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Is Guantanamo still open for business, is it?
Waterboarding's too good for him. now, in terms of the game, Tom... the contested ball. That's where we were brought to the schoolhouse there.
We were, you know, and it started with Tippett in the ruck. I dips my lid to Kurt Tippett. I mean, he's kicked four, and he really asserted his authority at the contests. You know, what a luxury for Sydney to have Tippett, you know, taking ruck duties. Yeah. You know, leaving Franklin and Sinclair, that other big man, running rampant up forward. It started with him, and really we were swamped. You know, our on ballers just really couldn't get a crack at it, and you know, the floodgates opened.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, the Carlton players manfully stuck to the task, but you know, they're up against a bona fide finals team here who will go deep into the year from what we saw at the weekend. You know, they've got an abundance of midfielders. They can just rotate through the place. You know, Parker, Hannabury, Jack, so many really, really good players. And, yeah, we were swamped, it's fair to say. But in saying that, you know, we mentioned Wiedering earlier. There was a magnificent bit of play on the wing in the second quarter, I think it was, where he completely outpointed his Sydney opponent in a marking contest.
Yes.
And moved the ball on and hit Bocourt.
His disposal is phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's flawless. You know, and the fella, there was another moment in the last quarter where I can recall, it might have been Simo had the ball in the back pocket, and Jakob Wiedering was standing in the goal square, the last line of defence, and it might have been Jamo that was alongside him. And when Simo had the ball, Wiedering instructed his teammate to push off into the back pocket. Sure enough, Simo swung around, flicked the ball through to Wiedering, who in turn kicked the ball to Jamo, whoever it might have been, who was away.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a kid that's two games into his career that is already basically, you know, telling members of the back six where to position themselves. And look, you know, that smacks of
leadership,
doesn't it?
Telling the vice captain and, you know, somebody of Jamo's stature as well.
It was just so magnificent to see the way this fellow went about his game and the, you know, the thinking man's footballer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, there were other, you know, great performances too, really. Heartening performances, you'd have to say, Tony. Dale Thomas probably was our best player of field in retrospect.
So 23, 24 touches
there. Yeah, a most maligned player, you know, and I mean, a whipping boy in many respects for a lot of current supporters, which irks me no end because I hate it when I hear and see supporters turn on their own.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, this was a man that did his shoulder in the first minute of last year's opening round.
Yeah.
And has had to come back after a good pre-season, you know, with that setback of a one-match suspension. But he's come back really, really hard. And I thought he, you know, there were moments in the game where he put his body on the line. I can remember that magnificent mark he took in front of Franklin, you know, marauding out from the forward line. And just his composure and the way that he used the ball. He's a smart player, Dale Thomas, you know. And I think my request to supporters and members listening is to give Daisy a chance. You know, we've got to give him a chance to settle, you know, to get some continuity into his football and string 4, 5, 6 games together and let's see where he's at. So, but I thought those signs from him at the weekend were most encouraging.
We've mentioned Charlie Curnow's debut. That was a magnificent goal. He's got composure, he's got class. There's, you know, we talk inevitably it comes to green shoots and and you look at him. What did you make of his debut?
Fantastic, lively, a lively, you know, debut for Charlie. Obviously, quite raw. I mean, still, you know, it's only just starting for him, so there's so much to learn. But I think if you look at the raw talent, the athleticism of Charlie, you know, a big man who can, you know, move like a winger. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just very, very exciting to see that this is another player that, you know, the recruiting team seem to have plucked that is really going to make an impression on the place, hopefully for the better part of 10, 12, 15 years.
One thing I did want to bring up, staying power. It seems, you know, it's obviously intensity is very hard to maintain over four quarters. Did you feel that there was a drop-off time?
Well, there certainly was in the opening round, I think, against Richmond. You know, I think Martin really took control in that last quarter, and maybe it was the case again. You know, there are young bodies, I suppose, taking the field, and what we're going to get is intermittent, you know, moments of brilliance, perhaps with times where, for whatever reason, players just drop off.
Yeah.
And I suppose consistency of performance, not only game to game, but quarter to quarter, is what Brendan Bolton will hopefully, would be demanding.
Yeah.
Maybe it takes time, I'm not sure. The Swans certainly really seemed up at this time of year. You know, traditionally, having come back late in the year by virtue of playing finals, they tend to start slowly, but that surprised me somewhat how up and about Sydney are at this time of year. But maybe with our guys, you know, they just need to work themselves into it and, you know, game by game, hopefully the consistency of performance quarter to quarter will come.
Now, Tone, we're introducing the Two Tones Award, possibly. It might rival the Brownlow, who knows?
Well, there's a Tony Award. I was mentioning the Luca Ganano, which is for Broadway's finest, is it? And so I thought, well, maybe the Bataki, we get, you know, is it a Ham of the Year award? In which case, Lance Franklin wins it hands down for some of his theatrics.
Well, then Laidler can get it for his fall against Daisy a couple of weeks previous.
Outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah. However, there is an individual award that I don't know if we have a sponsor yet, but it's lovely to see that that we, in our wisdom, Tone, can cast judgment on Carlton's finest through the course of this year and hopefully come up with a worthy winner by season's end.
Well, yes, we will see. It's the award you will want, you know. It's like, well, as you said, the Pataki Ham will even throw in a Placo shirt there.
Yes, very nice.
Some cold 4 and 20 pies, whatever else. And the player who does worst in the polling has to listen to an entire season of Jammo's new podcast. Okay.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we talked about
grumpy old defenders.
Yes, and from within the confines of Guantanamo Bay, Tony. Yes, that's, exactly. Forget the water treatment. Give them that.
The echo of a bear cell. Thank you.
Okay, we might be in a position where we can cast assessments on our players for rounds 1 and 2.
Yep.
Well, round one, the Richmond game, I went one for our pet favourite, Tony, Jakob Wittring on debut. I thought he was sensational with his composure. I gave two votes to Ed Curnow because of his job on the Richmond captain.
Yeah.
I thought he was tremendous in stopping Cochin in that game. And three votes to the captain. I thought the captain, under enormous pressure, for whatever reason, from outside the place, was heroic in the way he went about his work.
Yeah.
And so they were my votes for the opening round. For the weekend, I went. I gave another one vote to Jakob Wittring for his performance in the back half. I gave two to Simo. I thought Cade Simpson battled on pretty manfully, you know, when the whips were cracking and we were under siege. And three votes I gave to Daisy Thomas. I thought Thomas was terrific, and all power to him for putting his hand up and saying, I want the footy, I am a competitor, I will strut my stuff. So they are the votes for rounds one and two in the Two Tones Award, a much coveted award, Tone.
I completely endorse your votes for the round one game, and I second them completely.
Yes.
Murph did play a blinder. That was it was magnificent to see him leading emphatically.
Yes.
That was exciting. I feel like for the rest of the year we're just going to automatically give at least one vote to who is now our standout favourite in the Two Tones, Jakob Wittring. So for the Sydney game, I'm going to go one to Wittring.
Yes.
One to look, this is – okay. I just want to give him a nudge along. Blaine Bulkhurst, I think he is one to watch. He did a couple of things which I thought he was in there, he was trying. He's a green shoot, and I think they need every bit of encouragement.
There seems to be a Nordic influence coming through in your voting here, Tony.
Yeah, but I'm giving three votes to Levi Casbolt for nailing a set shot.
First goal of the game.
Yeah.
It's magnificent too.
So there we go. Now, Saturday night's match against the Suns at Metricon Stadium. Carlton will be on the road. So check local guides for venues, all that sort of stuff. We will catch you next week on the Two Tones.